Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد حي على سلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الرحمن الرحيم مالك
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وما كان لنفس أن تموت إلا بإذن الله كتابا مؤجلا ومن يرد ثواب الدنيا نؤته منها ومن يرد ثواب الآخرة نؤته منها وسنجزي الشاكرين. وكاين من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وحنوا لما صابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين.
These are verses of Surah Al-Imran, verses 146 to 149 and 170 to 172. The translation of these verses is, "And no soul can die except by Allah's leave, a decree with a fixed term, and whoever desires the reward of the present world, we will give him thereof. And whoever desires the reward of the life to come, we will give him thereof. And we will surely reward the grateful." And many a prophet there has been, beside whom fought a large number of godly people. They slackened not for aught that befell them in the way of Allah, nor did they weaken. nor did they humiliate themselves before the enemy, and Allah loves the steadfast. And they uttered not a word except that they said, Our Lord, forgive us our errors and our excesses in our conduct, and make firm our steps and help us against the disbelieving people. So Allah gave them the reward of this world, as also an excellent reward of the next, and Allah loves those who do good. The translation of the next set of verses is, Think not of those who have been slain in the cause of Allah as dead. Nay, they are living, in the presence of their Lord, being well provided, jubilant because of that which Allah has given them of His bounty, and rejoicing for those who have not yet joined them from behind them, because on them shall come no fear, nor shall they grieve. They rejoice at the favour of Allah and His bounty, and at the fact that Allah suffers not the reward of the believers to be lost. It is a great favor and blessing of Allah the Almighty that He has granted the Jamaat, the community of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, such members and such people who understand the spirit of their pledges. They understand the spirit of making sacrifices. Furthermore, they do not only understand it, but in fact they establish examples and models which are peerless in the world today. Should it be the question of financial sacrifices, where else do we find people who truly make sacrifices financially for the sake of their faith? In this respect, we see the Ahmadiyya Muslim community right at the forefront. Should it be the question of sacrificing one's time, then today we find in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community the exemplary models of people sacrificing in this respect. If we assess the question of having to sacrifice one's honor and respect, then we find again the examples in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. If it is the question of sacrificing one's time for the sake of preaching Islam, we find the righteous group of people in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community who stand up for this purpose. If you want to see the real examples of sacrificing one's own lives, then the Ahmadiyya Muslim community's history has placed a stamp on this attribute. In short, today Allah the Almighty has established the Ahmadiyya Muslim community to demonstrate every form of sacrifice which is made for the sake of Allah the Almighty and in accordance with His commandments and the manner that He has taught. Today, Allah the Almighty has conferred the promised Messiah on whom be peace with such a community, the majority of whom understand the spirit of having to sacrifice one's life, time, wealth, and honor for the sake of the faith, and are ever ready to make this sacrifice. However, there are some members of the community who, as a result of inadequate knowledge, express comments which do not befit the high status, honor, and splendor of a mu'min, of a believer. As a result of the circumstances or human weaknesses, they express such things, which excessively have an impact upon such members who are inadequately trained or who have raw minds. There are some who even write to me that the period of trial and tribulation continues to drag on even longer. If the concern is merely that the period of trial and tribulation continues to lengthen, then may Allah the Almighty rapidly produce the means of ease and respite. However, there is no harm in this. For when hardships and trials and tribulations reach the most intolerable levels, then the communities of the messengers and the believers cry out, Mata Nasrullah, when will come the help of Allah? They make this prayer. However, to express an inclination towards worldly means and resources in this respect is contrary to the honor and splendor of a mu'min, of a believer. So as an example, one person wrote to me that the persecution that is being meted out to the Jamaat in Pakistan should motivate us to informing the world about this. MTA International should devote a large part to highlighting the persecution of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, and other means should also be utilized. We should raise our voice against cruelty in the world. Indeed, I inferred from the letter that he intended to suggest that the manner of worldly people should be adopted, that is, to raise a great hue and cry, to protest, and to raise our slogans and voices before the world. And then, perhaps, those governments who are currently opposed to us will be inclined to give attention towards our rights. And that ultimately this period of hardship, trial and tribulation will end. The person writing in says, my friend, who is a Shia, says that if we ever face the plight of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, we resort to protests, processions, coming out on the streets, and so on and so forth. He further commented that if it even afflicts us to a small degree, we raise a great clamor all over the world. He said that Ahmadis do not protest properly, and he retorted that it is for this reason that the period of persecution and trials and tribulation continues to elongate. The first point that should be remembered is that when it is our claim that we are a divine Jamaat, a community from Allah the Almighty, then we should also recall and bear in mind that divine communities do not rely, depend, or resort to worldly governments, protests, or processions. Similarly, worldly help has no role in the progress of the divine communities. Worldly help always has certain conditions attached with it. They always have a purpose or a motive behind them. In some way or the other, one has to submit when acquiring those worldly means or looking towards worldly support. A true mu'min, a true believer, can never tolerate or believe in this. When the cry is made from the mu'mineen, from the believers, that Mata Nasrullah, when will come the help of Allah, then this is actually a prayer that is made before Allah the Almighty while submitting to Him. Passing through any trial or tribulation, when we submit to Allah the Almighty and turn towards Him and beseech Him for His help, support, succor, blessings and grace. When we seek for His aid and help, we find new avenues of success and prosperity continuously opening before us. Today, the Ahmadi spread all over the world in 204 countries are all witness to the fact that these trials and tribulations always and continuously open up new avenues of our success. We are surpassing and traversing new stages of prosperity. Thus, we should not be perturbed and concerned merely by the fact that an era of trial and tribulation continues in one country. Instead, we should observe how vast and widespread the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty are descending. With respect to the question of worldly means and resources and how to utilize them, it is indeed correct that we can use them. It is not forbidden to resort to worldly resources. It is actually a commandment. It is in no way forbidden to utilize worldly means. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, within limits, we utilize these worldly resources and means. We should and we do utilize them. We also make the world realize and highlight to them how the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is being persecuted. We inform the world that if today the world does not unite to end all the cruelty, the oppression will spread. For this is not limited to just the Ahmadiyya community. Indeed, no one will remain safe as this spread. Today the world stands witness that this has come true. But despite making the world realize this, our dependence and our reliance is not on any government, nor is it on any human rights organization. Indeed, we only rely and depend upon the being of Allah the Almighty. It is precisely this subject matter that I have been explaining for the last two Friday sermons. In order to acquire all results, we should look only to Allah the Almighty. This indeed is the honor and high status of a mu'min, of a believer. Those in the world who raise an uproar, who hold rallies and processions and resort to causing disturbances and even violence. Such people obtain revenge and seek retribution utilizing the same oppressive and violent methods. All of this is because they do not have divine promises that the final victory will be with them. Whereas we have with us the promises of Allah the Almighty, that despite the bitter persecution and cruelty being perpetrated against you, despite all of this oppression, which is from governments or which is being carried out by those who have connections with the government and on the behest of the authorities, it is the decree of Allah the Almighty that you will obtain those blessings and graces and bounties, inshallah, God willing. These are received by the mu'mins, the believers, through Allah the Almighty's special reward. You will receive the rewards and bounties of this life as well as the rewards and bounties of the hereafter. The examples of sacrifice that you continuously establish will never go to waste, and the final victory and success will be granted to you. The most efficacious method of obtaining this success and triumph is prayers. The more we immerse ourselves in prayers, the quicker will these difficulties evaporate. In order to save ourselves from the attacks of the detractors and opponents, the greater degree that we submit ourselves in worship, to that same degree will we rapidly observe Allah the Almighty manifest and display His extraordinary signs and miracles. So thus, there is huge difference in the way we think and the way the people of the world think. We have taken the bet, the pledge of allegiance of the Imam of the time. He had with him the promises of success and victory from Allah the Almighty. He had promises from Allah the Almighty of new avenues of triumph continuously unfolding. As I have said, we observe this occurring even now. But others do not have such promises. The example was given of the Shias or of any other people. I do not see through their worldly protests where they have been successful in their aims and objectives. Indeed, we see violence, disturbances, and destruction, strife. As a result of this, further disorder will occur. And as I have said, they are responding merely to cruelty with cruelty. but we will not act in this manner. Here I will give an example of the attitude of the worldly people. As I said, that even if help is obtained from people in the world, they look at their interests and their own considerations. Very recently, a newspaper here published an article in which they said that Muslims are not loyal to the government. They purported that Muslims should be evicted from the Western countries. In response, our press section said that this is incorrect. Islam enjoins to abide by the law of the land and to show love for one's nation. The newspaper responded that other Muslim sects do not adopt this teaching. So therefore they said to us that we should admonish the other Muslims. We said that is fine, if your newspaper is prepared to publish this advice, then we will give a statement. When we wrote a piece in accordance with their own editorial guidelines and requirements, either the editor or the board turned it down and did not allow us to publish the announcement. They presented the excuse that other articles had been submitted which they had to publish. They then tried to divert the subject away, saying that we will see in the future whether we can publish this or not. These were just excuses. The actual fact of the matter is that they did not have the courage because they did not want to upset the other Muslim sects who are opposed to the Ahmadis. They did not want to fulfill the requirements of justice. They harbor certain fears. Observing some of the harsh methods and attitudes of Muslims, their fears increase. I often say to various leaders and the press that if you want to establish peace, then establish justice. Do not adopt double standards. Most people admit and confess to the fact that we do lack this, and this is the truth. Some people even go so far as to say that openly we will not confess that we do have an underlying agenda to acquire our objectives and aims. The reality is that we do speak of justice before the world, but in truth we have our own interests. And it is those interests that we really seek to achieve. So this is the condition and state to which people say we should follow, or some people profess that we should look to such people. We cannot rely on those who adopt double standards, neither do they have the power or capacity to remove the difficulties and tribulations. A newspaper does not want to publish a statement which expresses love for the country. And this is not a contentious matter or an issue of dispute or anything of the kind through which they could have reservations to not publish. People who write in with such advice should stop to think, how can we look towards such people or rely or depend on them? If every single Ahmadi were to understand the reality of reliance and dependence on Allah the Almighty, were to truly act and practice upon this, then wherever difficulties and hardships are being imposed on Ahmadis, there, inshallah, God willing, through prayers alone, all such difficulties will completely evaporate. However, there is a condition, which is that the right of the prayers must be fulfilled. We should also remember that where hardships and cruelties are being perpetrated by opponents in Pakistan and in other countries, by the government or by other people, the persecution and oppression that is being meted out to us under the garb or the protection of the government or anyone else is not a new phenomenon that has started today, nor is this something which has just occurred for the last 20 or 30 years. Indeed, all of this started since the time the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, claimed and declared that he was the promised Messiah, and he established a Jamaat, the community. From the very outset, the promised Messiah and the members of his community had to face oppression, persecution, and difficulties. Indeed, there even came a time when the thought arose that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, would have to migrate his hometown, Qadian, the owners of which had been the family of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, for a long period of time. Even in his hometown, he was unsafe. We can go back even further, and we see that in the entire life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he had to continuously and incessantly face cruelties and persecution. His beloved wife, who was extremely well off and wealthy, and who had dozens of slaves or servants under her service, and was considered amongst the richest women of Makkah, accepted Islam and thereafter had to suffer extreme hardships and difficulties. At an elderly age, she was exiled from her home. Furthermore, for a long period of time, she was forced to live in a valley, in a helpless and dire state, where there was no availability of water, food, provisions, or accommodation. It was precisely this plight of the tough conditions and difficulties that ultimately resulted in her demise. Now, all of this was endured for the sake of Islam. It was for the sake of a noble and pious objective, with the hope that these sacrifices are accompanied by the promises of Allah the Almighty. These promises will indeed be fulfilled. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, himself had to suffer great suffering and torture. In Makkah, for 13 relentless and ceaseless years, he faced attacks by stones, by sticks, and by every possible means. Every manner of persecution was inflicted upon him. Yet, not only did he stand up to this bravely and boldly, indeed he even had to endure the lives of his companions and relatives being taken. When his followers would request him to pray against and curse the enemy, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead would pray for their guidance. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was attacked with stones and covered in blood. This juncture in the life of the Holy Prophet, he has described himself as the most harshest moments. At the time, Allah the Almighty asked the Holy Prophet whether he wanted those people to be destroyed. He responded, "No, do not destroy them through the mountains being turned upside down. For perhaps through their progeny there will be people who will accept the truth. Indeed, this is what we hope, that such people will be born. They will accept the truth and will cater and facilitate their life in this world and the next." After the migration, the series of wars imposed by the enemy's attacks began ceaselessly. So where, on the one hand, there is a lengthy account of persecution and cruelties, there we also find peerless examples of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's patience, tolerance, steadfastness, and mercy. It was destined for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to endure all of this. For the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to establish an example in every aspect of life for the world. Further, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated examples of sacrifice. They knew and kept in view the promises of Allah the Almighty and the teachings he had enjoined. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was destined to come as the reflection of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he indeed came as his reflection. Thus, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has admonished his followers precisely this, that cruelties, persecution, and oppression are decreed to befall my followers. You'll have to endure periods of difficulties and hardships. He said that my path is not walking on a bed of roses, but upon thorns. He has not deceived anyone. Everyone who enters Ahmadiyyat does so with the understanding that he will have to suffer difficulties and hardships. I sometimes ask new converts this question to gauge whether they truly understand that by entering Ahmadiyyat, life will not be like a bed of roses. Just recently, there was a meeting or gathering with the new converts here in the UK. I asked precisely this question to one person. He hailed from Pakistan. His response was that we have done the bed with thought and consideration and are ever ready to face every difficulty. Some women had to leave their homes and enter Ahmadiyyat but did not leave their faith. So all of this is for the reason that they have perceived and understood that they must give precedence to their faith over worldly matters. They have understood that life and death are in the hands of God. Fortunate are those who display perseverance and steadfastness in the way of Allah. As a result, Allah the Almighty makes them the recipients of paradise both in this world and the hereafter. These are not just verbal claims. We find in the history of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community such incidents and accounts regularly occurring. Such examples of sacrifices have been demonstrated, which at times leave people astonished. As I have said, all of this is due to the fact that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has made clear from the very outset that all of this would occur. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further explained that despite enduring and observing all of this, never let your faith be compromised in any way. Always remember this, that due to this perseverance and steadfastness, Allah the Almighty has decreed rewards for you in both this life and in the hereafter. Allah the Almighty has mentioned this in numerous instances in the Holy Quran. You have already heard the translation of the verses of the Holy Quran I recited. This very subject matter is entailed therein. So thus life and death are attached to every person. Here Allah the Almighty has made clear that life and death occur purely through the will of Allah the Almighty. At the very most, the detractors and the enemies can threaten us with the fear of death, but we care not in the least. If they enter the path of Allah the Almighty, then they will receive the rewards and bounties of God. We find in the history of Islam, Hadrat Khalid bin Walid, who was upon his deathbed. A friend had come to inquire about his well-being. As soon as he set sight on him, Hadrat Khalid bin Walid started weeping profusely. The friend thought that perhaps Hadrat Khalid bin Walid was fearful of death. He said, "Khalid, you have been very close to being killed by the enemies many times, and have shown such bravery and valor, which leaves everyone astounded. So why then are you afraid of death right now?" Hadrat Khalid responded, "Remove the cloth from upon me." The friend saw that every part of the upper body of Hadrat Khalid bin Walid had been inflicted with wounds. Hadrat Khalid then said, "Remove the cloth from my legs." There also wound marks had covered every part of his body. Hadrat Khalid bin Walid said, "I am not crying because I am afraid of dying. I am crying due to the concern and deep worry because I have always yearned and wished for martyrdom." These wound marks that you see testify to this fact. However, I did not attain this status and rank, and now I am on my deathbed. I am thinking to myself that could it be that I have not attained martyrdom as a result of shortcomings in my actions and practices? I am afraid and fearful lest Allah the Almighty has deprived me of martyrdom because he is displeased with me. So this was the status and rank of those who understood the spirit of sacrificing oneself in the way of Allah the Almighty. This was a condition of their heart. Allah the Almighty also says regarding such Muslim soldiers that they also have the glad tidings of paradise. The point is that this was the passion and sentiments for martyrdom. Then we also find an example of understanding the spirit of sacrifice in this era, the era of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. When the king said to Hazrat Sahibzada Abdul Latif Shaheed persistently that if you reject the promised Messiah on whom be peace, whom you have believed in, then I will spare your life. He tried to tempt Sahibzada Sahib with this. So Hazrat Sahibzada Sahib would reply every time that if Allah the Almighty today is conferring me with a death that will enable me to receive His rewards and bounties, then why would I reject this for the sake of the world? Your offer is extremely absurd and foolish. It is an entirely ignorant and ridiculous bargain that you are trying to make with me. So this is the high status of a mu'min, of a believer. Allah the Almighty has mentioned this in this verse. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا زَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. They slackened not for aught that befell them in the way of Allah, nor did they weaken. Nor did they humiliate themselves before the enemy. And Allah loves the steadfast. Today it is precisely this that troubles and hurts the enemies. They wonder that why do the Ahmadis not display any weakness? Why, despite all the persecution and cruelties we perpetrate, the Ahmadis do not submit to us? They are oblivious to the fact that the real and true Ahmadi always submits and turns to God. An Ahmadi persistently endeavors to acquire the pleasure of Allah. Here Allah the Almighty has also taught us a prayer to receive His pleasure. Always beseech this prayer to remain steadfast, for strength of faith is conferred only by Allah. The people in this world will make every effort to pressurize you, to weaken your faith, but do not let it affect you. The prayer that has been taught in the verses that I have already recited is رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Our Lord, forgive us our errors and excesses in our conduct, and make firm our steps and help us against the disbelieving people. Our Lord, forgive us our errors and our excesses in our conduct, and make firm our steps and help us against the disbelieving people. This can be explained in other words, that forgive us in our misdemeanors, in our excesses, in our conduct, in our transgressions, in our practices, and forgive us of our sins. So thus, where Allah the Almighty has taught us a prayer to submit to Him in every circumstance, there He has also explained that successes and victory are achieved only through prayer. To turn and submit to God, beseech Him with prayers. Prayers which are asked sincerely and with purity. makes a person the recipient of the blessings of this world and the next. Then there is the second part of Surah Al-Imran, as I have said. Words of consolation and reassurance have been used regarding further enhancing and strengthening one's faith. Allah the Almighty has said, those people who give up their lives in the way of God are not dead, in fact they are living. Amwata, apart from death, also means that these are not people for whom revenge is not acquired. Secondly, it means that these are not people for whom there is no one to fulfill their objectives. The third meaning is those who are grief-stricken. Those who are slain or lay down their lives in the way of Allah the Almighty are not dead. Rather, they fall under the category of Ahya, the living. Allah the Almighty will Himself procure retribution for the martyrs. Secondly, those who remain behind in this life after the martyrdom do not slacken and weaken in their faith. There will always remain a denomination of people at all times who are satiated with the spirit of martyrdom. Thirdly, it is that these martyrs will have such a rank and status in the sight of Allah the Almighty, they will be given such gifts, bounties and rewards which will delight them. Their death will not be one of sorrow. Indeed, their death will be the means of joy and delight. They are happy and content by the fact that going in to the hereafter, they will receive the glad tidings that their sacrifices will not only inspire a body of people who will have the spirit of sacrifice, but there is also the happiness and contentment that their sacrifices will be the means of the final victory and triumph over the enemy. So these sacrifices, these trials, these temporary tribulations, in fact, increase the rate of our progress and success rather than bring us frustration and despair. Elsewhere, Allah the Almighty has explained this in the following way. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. As for those who say, Our Lord is Allah, and then remain steadfast, the angels descend on them, saying, Fear ye not, nor grieve, and rejoice ye, peace has said. That is, upon those who affirm, God is our Lord, and turn away from false gods, and are steadfast. That is to say, remain firm under trials and calamities. Descend angels, reassuring them. Fear not, nor grieve, and be filled with happiness. And rejoice that you have inherited the joy that you had been promised. We are your friends in this life and in the hereafter. These verses indicate that steadfastness wins the pleasure of God Almighty. It is true, as has been said, that steadfastness is more than a miracle. The perfection of steadfastness is that when one is encircled by calamities and life and honor and good name are all in peril in the cause of Allah and no means of comfort are available, so much so that even visions and dreams and revelation are suspended by God as a trial, and one is left helpless among terrible dangers. At such a time, one should not lose heart, nor retreat like a coward, nor let one's faithfulness be put in doubt in the least. One should not let one's sincerity and perseverance be weakened. One should be pleased with one's disgrace. One should be reconciled to death. One should not wait for a friend to lend one his support in order to keep one firm. So each and every single one of us should aspire to reach this state and condition. This is impossible without the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty. When such a state prevails that a person is ever ready to make every sacrifice, Allah the Almighty never leaves such a person. Rather, He grabs hold fast to him. This is why He is giving the glad tidings of paradise. And this is also why Allah teaches us the prayers to remain steadfast and for perseverance. He has also taught us the prayers to gain victory and triumph over the enemy. Indeed, this means that Allah the Almighty will accept these prayers and will open the doors of triumph and victory in such a way that there will be no means of escape for them. Inshallah, God willing, the ultimate and final triumph and victory that Allah the Almighty has promised to the promised Messiah on whom be peace will indeed come to pass, and the ultimate triumph will, inshallah, God willing, be ours. Today, another one of our brothers joins the long rank and list of those who have made sacrifices and who have received the glad tidings of paradise from God the Almighty. Respected Khalil Ahmed Sahib, son of Fatah Ahmed Sahib, who was from the district of Shekhapura. He was martyred on 16th May 2014. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. The account of the martyrdom is as follows. On 13th May 2014, the opponents of the community had a quarrel with Ahmadis when they removed some stickers that were against Ahmadiyyat. It was more heated exchange rather than a quarrel. So they used this as an excuse, and on this pretext, they held a rally against the Jamaat in Shekhapura. They used loudspeakers to deliver inflammatory speeches against the community. Traffic was blocked and demands were made to file a court case against the Ahmadis. As a result, the police filed a case against four Ahmadis: Mubashir Ahmed Sahib, Ghulam Ahmed Sahib, Khalil Ahmed Sahib and Ehsan Ahmed Sahib. Their names were submitted in the FIR, the first investigation report. Khalil Ahmed Sahib and some other relatives were all imprisoned. The other names of those who have been submitted in the FIR had their bail successfully completed. Khalil Sahib's bail process was underway when on 16th May 2014, on Friday, at noon, a young man named Salim from a nearby village came on the pretext of wanting to give food. He entered near to the cell in the jail and asked which one Khalil Saab was. When he had been identified, the assailant took out a pistol and fired him in the face, upon which he was severely wounded. The murderer attempted to fire against the other Ahmadis, but the gun jammed. The police then arrested the murderer. Khalil Saab was removed from the cell, but he had already been martyred. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Although they arrested the culprit, the fact is that all of this occurred right before the nose of the police and the authorities. The young man had been completely blinded in his opposition to Ahmadiyyat by the Maulvis. He was raising slogans that he had now obtained paradise. So this is the state of the Maulvis today who provide such teachings. Allah and His Messenger have enjoined, he who kills one who professes the kalama will be punished with hell. Yet here conversely, they are giving glad tidings of paradise. The martyr's family was from Shekhapura. Ahmadiyyat was first accepted in his family from his father, Fatah Ahmed Sahib. Two brothers, Sardar Muhammad Sahib and Chaudhary Muhammad Umardeen Sahib, also joined Ahmadiyyat with him in 1918, during the era of Hazrat Khalif Tumasi II. The martyr was a born Ahmadi. He was 61 years old at the time of his martyrdom. He had received his education up to his matriculation, and he was working in the Wabda. Prior to his martyrdom, he had retired from the department. Mukarram Khalil Sahib, the martyr, was a very pious Ahmadi. He observed his five daily prayers regularly and performed the Tahajjud prayer. He would regularly undertake recitation of the Holy Quran. He had a deep and sincere connection with Khilafat. He would regularly listen to the Friday sermon and other programs on MTA, and he would inculcate his children likewise. He would show great love and respect to the Waqf-e Zindagis. Hospitality of guests was one of his hallmarks. he would feel pride to extend hospitality to guests from the Markaz. He was an extremely honest and trustworthy Ahmadi, and he was satiated with the spirit of serving mankind. He always endeavored to help the weak and the poor. He was enabled to serve as Secretary Mal, Secretary Dainanullah, and Zaim Ansarullah in terms of his Jamaat responsibilities. He leaves behind a wife, two daughters, and two sons. One of his sons, Lake Ahmed Sahib, is in Germany. And there is Ehsan Ahmed Sahib, who is a Qaid Khudam al-Ahmadiyya. The Mu'allam Sahib writes that Khalil Sahib would greatly resort to prayers. He would pray with heartfelt emotion. After offering his farz and sunnah prayers, all other worshippers would leave the mosque. However, his sunnah and his nawafil would continue for a long period of time. I will inshallah lead his funeral prayer in absentia after the Friday prayer. In addition, there are some funeral prayers that will be led with the body is present here. One is of Maulvi Ahsan Ilahi Sahib, who was a retired Waqf-e Jadeed Muallim. He was currently living in London and passed away on 17th May at the age of 83. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the son of the companion of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, Rahmat Ali Sahib, from Perochichi near Qadian. Maulvi Rahmat Ali Sahib had been appointed by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, as a gardener in Beheshti Makbara, Qadian. In 1949, Ehsan Alahi Sahib dedicated his life. And from 1957, he began his service as a Muallam in Waqf-e Jadeed. This continued until October 1999. He retired this year and had come to his children in London. He had been assigned for some time in Sindh, and he was enabled to establish numerous Jamaats in different places. The deceased was a Musi. He leaves behind four daughters and three sons. One is Mahmud Ahmed Sham Sahib, who is a missionary. The second funeral where the body is present here is of Nasreen Bhatt Sahiba. She passed away on 18th May at the age of 41, suffering a heart attack. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was an extremely pious, God-fearing, active member of the Jamaat. She was regular in offering her chandas. 4.5 years ago, her husband had suddenly passed away. She brought up her own children in an excellent manner and was enabled to give them a good upbringing. She kept them closely connected with Khilafat. She had a sincere and loyal connection with Khilafat. She leaves behind four sons. May Allah the Almighty keep them in His protection. And may Allah the Almighty make them the recipients of their parents' pious wishes and prayers. May they remain closely attached with the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the three deceased persons for whom we will offer the funeral prayers. May Allah the Almighty grant all of them forgiveness.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم.